And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
And like a well-oiled machine, we are back at it again. We don't need fall camp. We don't need spring ball. We don't need spring training. We just need casings and entrails all over the floor.
That's right.
But you know what? We're on the air, right?
We're here.
Yes, we are on the air. I can hear that.
Okay.
So that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Welcome in. Monday on the Closers. We're going to take over the world one broadcast segment at a time. Because that's what we do. But we're going to give each broadcast segment 110%.
That's right.
We're going to try to put the words in the correct order.
We can only take the segments that are on the schedule.
That is correct. Yes. And we have to take them in the order that they are scheduled.
Right.
We occasionally will bounce them around.
Yeah.
And we'll just, you know, we're going to be what we can be.
Day to day.
Yes.
That's right.
Segment to segment.
Don't press send. Oh, wait. That's a different thing.
All right. I'm confused. 442-8255 is the phone number here. Interesting weekend. As I was talking to you, Jay, during the prep segment, we've got Sarah Reisman, Associate Athletic Director for the University of Missouri, coming in at a little bit after 5 o'clock. Title IX is celebrating its 45th anniversary this year, instituted back in 1972. And we're going to visit with Sarah about some of the notable milestones, especially with the University of Missouri on Title IX, and maybe some of the kind of the mission creep and some of the uncomfortableness that goes along with trying to enforce Title IX and how that has affected the University of Missouri. So we'll visit with Sarah in the 5 o'clock hour. This hour, pretty much kind of just the weekend recap, a look ahead. Of course, got Royals and Cardinals tonight, first of a two-game set at the K, and then they'll return the favor this weekend at Busch Stadium. I wish it was a three-game set, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but smarter people than I.
This fills up your midweek.
Oh, does it?
It's an attendance bump for four midweek games.
Okay. How long have you been telling yourself that?
It's true.
Okay. I'd still rather have it as a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Bring in the Mariners Monday through...
Whoa, no, the Mariners, that's a big deal. That's a big series.
Okay. How'd those duck races go, by the way, Saturday at the K?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah? Lots of arc building going on.
Yes. And Salvi Perez landing on at least right now, the 10-day DL.
That's right.
So, yeah, a lot of stuff was going on. Let's begin, though, with kind of your conversation on Friday with Larry Borowski. I know we talked about it a little bit leading into the show here today. That was just the fallout from no moves made at the trade deadline, July 31st, 3 o'clock, came and went. Lance Lynn was still wearing the birds on the bat, and nothing was done. And you and I came out of that Tuesday, Wednesday, really frustrated about what's the direction of this team? What's the plan for the front office? Where is the what's next for the St. Louis Cardinals? On Friday, you had a chance to talk with Larry, and since I was down in Dallas with USA Swimming, what was kind of the general tenor? What's he picking up as far as the plan, if there is one, for the Cardinals?
I think that's just it. It's the lack of a plan. It's the negative space that a scaffolding going around. It's like walking up and seeing a bunch of scaffolding and no building.
Okay.
There's, you know, oh, let's go. Here we go. Let's get rid of Lynn. Let's get rid of the Rosenthal. Let's move people. Let's move. Let's move one of the outfielders. Let's move all these things. Let's start to clean house. Let's change the nature, the demeanor of this team. Okay, great. Or, okay, here we go. So we're only four out and we've been struggling, but we go get some, you know, we take a couple minor leaguers, we take one of those aforementioned pieces, we go get some major league ready stuff, we spruce it up, we find an arm, and you actually challenge the Cubs and go for it because you're still in this. Central's not out of reach. Okay. Neither one
crickets.
Of those happened.
It was crickets. Now, and they have made noise, at least the Cardinals have, about saying, well, you know, we've got an entire offseason to work on this.
And
they yes, you do.
They didn't want to look like they were giving up on the 2017 season.
Okay.
I get that.
But if you don't want to look and give the appearance of giving up on the 2017 season, especially for your fan base, and we'll get to them in a minute here, but one of the things that you have to do is make a decision. You know, basically, you know, blank or get off the pot here for the Cardinals. Are you actually trying to make a run at the Cubs? If so, your greatest weakness right now appears to be where? All kinds of places.
Right.
And that brings it back to maybe the front office looked at this, and this was something that we had talked about a couple of weeks ago. Maybe the front office is looking at this going, we have more problems than one or two trade deadline deals are going to fix. Now we get into what happens over the weekend. And for those of you who read the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, whether it's Derek Gould or whether it's Ben Fredrickson or Ben Hawkman, any of the Cardinal beat writers, you listen to the broadcast over the weekend or you read Jennifer Langosch, who writes for MLB.com on behalf of the St. Louis Cardinals, you are starting to see some of the things that we've been talking about for a couple of months now rear their ugly heads over the course of the weekend. Jed Jerko, we're just not a good team offensively.
Yep.
You know, your front office saying we've got a lot of pieces that just don't seem to fit together.
Whoa. Weird. It's like, had they listened to this show over time.
Yeah, Matheny going, we really need to figure out on how we can concentrate more on the fundamental aspects of baseball. That is costing us a lot of baseball games. Got the worst record in Major League Baseball in one-run games. So you do all of that.
Mm-hmm.
As the book ends to where is your fan base feeling this year?
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like from as I travel around, and I know as you talk to people too, the fan base is, I don't know if it's not concerned. It seems confused as to what's the direction this team is wanting to take. Where do they want to go? Who do they want to be? Because I can remember talking early on in the season in April about the Kansas City Royals.
Mm-hmm.
Who are these guys?
Right.
Who do they want to be?
Right.
It seems like they've kind of settled in.
They've found an identity.
Yeah.
It's not the identity that I had
mm-hmm.
in the offseason.
Right.
Not the identity that I wanted them to have going in and through this season. But it's an identity. And at the moment, it's working. And in the way baseball works, if you're not the 1927 Yankees or the 2017 Dodgers, you take whatever works at the time.
Right. And they have figured out, and Ned has worked with this over the course of the season, and it seems like he has gone kind of two-week by two-week chunks of, all right, this is working this two-week chunk. And as soon as it starts to not work, he switches it. And he switches it. And that has worked well for Kansas City. For St. Louis, it seems like every time Matheny tries to switch something around, he's getting flashback from the guys that he's trying to move
mm-hmm.
into different spots. Or when he makes the move, it's not working, and he just goes, let's let it settle in. Let's see what happens. And then you look up and you realize that you're 3-7 in your last 10 games.
Or even you look up and you're 5-5.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cubs are 8-2.
Yeah.
And at that point you're just like, well. And the margin still. This team is not there are teams out there with a positive margin where you make a defensive mistake, there's a lapse, your starting pitcher the third time through has a problem. all of those things, and it just gets covered up. Whether it's the offense, whether enough offense plus the bullpen, mm-hmm. whether your defense just picks it up and lets the guy on first after an error and then doubles him off as an outfield assist at second, whatever it is, that margin gets covered up and gets folded back in and everything works out okay. This Cardinals team, they make a mistake and they're behind the eight ball.
It's a killer. Very rarely, as you've gone through this season, when you see the Cardinals have in the under the E column one or two, has it become a win?
Yeah. Probably not very often.
And you talk about it, let's say, all throughout, whether it's money, whether it's investments, whether it is professional sports, I don't care where it is. If your margins are that restaurant business, if your margins are that razor thin, you better have all your ducks in a row. You better have an identity as to who you are and know that, and the confidence to know that you can, if you make a mistake here, I got two or three guys that can back me up here. And there's a trust factor in that too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing I think that's missing from this Cardinals team is not just the trust within the locker room, but the trust when the decision-making process from Mike Matheny right on up the ladder, openly questioning what your manager is doing. And when you get to that point where you're the guys that are earning the millions and millions of dollars to put on a show for you 180, 162 times a year, hope the open it's 180, but right. Generally 162 times a year. If that trust is not there among the nine guys out on the field or the 25 guys that are in the locker room with what's going on with management, you got more problems than what you're seeing on that baseball field. And what you see on that baseball field ends up becoming a direct result of what you're seeing, or not seeing, rather, in the locker room and the boardroom of the Cardinals organization.
Well, I think the fans are triply on the outside of mm-hmm. this nesting doll. You have this nesting doll of problems going on with the Cardinals. Whether they're real or perceived, there are obvious issues in the Cardinal organization this year that they've probably been there for a couple years, mm-hmm. but they're actually being exposed this year. And if you're the fans, who are you mad at? If you've paid for section 319, row M, seat 4, if you've paid for that seat, you're a paying Cardinal fan and you go see the Cardinals booted around, commit some errors, give up some bad runs, the offense can't get anything going, and you start to walk back to your car, who are you mad on? I mean, who are you mad about? Where is it directed? Because the players made the errors.
Mm-hmm.
The guys swung the bats. Matheny can't get the guys to stop making errors. Matheny can't put out a lineup that's not tweaked in a weird way. Or put guys in positions in the lineup to succeed.
Yeah, like your pitcher is a pinch runner.
Gersh, your new GM, didn't do anything at the trade deadline, so didn't commit to either 2018 or 2017. And Mozeliak just sitting there counting your money from row 319, or you know, section 319, row M, seat 4. He's counting your money. Who are you mad at?
I know Mozeliak has moved the deck chairs around a lot this year. But does it at times seem like Mozeliak is sitting up there, and as you mentioned, counting the money, and then slips into his Pontius Pilate role? I wash my hands of these problems, of these troublesome Cardinals.
My boy Mike's got it covered.
That's right.
It's what it seems like to me. It's not even Pontius Pilate.
He's the procurator of the Cardinals nation right now, and he's doing just fine. He's got a couple of hiccups, but he's doing just fine. And if you pop open the standings this morning after the Cardinals weekend series in Cincinnati, or Cincinnapolis, as Mike Shannon lovingly calls it. You see, and I'm talking just games behind. I don't care about runs for, runs against, last 10, wins, losses, percentage, differentials, none of that. You look it up and you go, 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 3.5. Is that the selling point for Cardinals management right now? Going, listen, we know we've got problems. We know we got a lot of bad mojo going on about there. A lot of bad happening. But we're only 3.5 out.
Now, what you got here? See, what you got here is, this is a nice car. This is a real nice. Now, look, I understand.
Can I get undercoating on that?
I understand the fender. It's a little bumped up. Yeah. And I understand that the paint is a little oxidized there on the hood. I understand. But listen.
The clear coat's peeling.
The price on this car, it's just beautiful. It's cherry inside. And this car for the price, you're not going to find a better car for the price.
We're going to work on the financing, and we'll do that right now. I may end up with a car.
The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Hey, welcome back to The Closers here alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young. 442-8255 is the phone number. 442-8255. We're going to go Mizzou heavy in hour number two. So we're going to start things off with Associate Athletic Director Sarah Reisman. And then most of the rest of the hour is going to be Mizzou because you got football going on. You got basketball things happening. So, or not happening as the weekend kind of slides by. And
tick, tock, tick,
and
tock.
No news happens.
Mm-hmm.
At all.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes anyway. No news happens. Sometimes hashtag things happening.
Yes, there is that.
It's so, both.
Yeah, so we've got that coming up in hour number two. But meanwhile, hour number one, we'll do the professional stuff going on. And let's switch sides of the state because the Cardinals are at Kauffman Stadium. Yes, sir.
Sorry, we just noticed over the break, we didn't mention the first segment, Fowler activated for this double two-game series against the Royals. Piscotty, AAA. A name that was bandied about at the trade deadline, a guy who you did not trade in
but
the
quote,
sense
no takers.
Well, in the sense that you assume, it seems like you were going to keep him to help you with your 2017 season. AAA
to make room for Dexter Fowler, which is good. I think that shows the shrewdness of Matheny and company, and keeping a full load of pitchers because you never know when you need a pitcher as a pinch runner.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Man, the NL's dumb. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, what? Wow, I'm sorry.
You said, just kinda... Yes, you did say that out loud. You did say that one out loud. Let's switch to mention other side of the state before Jay digs himself a deeper. Or would you like to, you want a shovel?
No, that's
you
fine.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm good.
A ladder.
Nah.
To get back up out of that hole.
No, it's okay.
Okay. All right. American League. It's much smarter.
I mean, it's got its own dumb thing. Let's let's be honest. Okay. So
all right. Kansas City Royals sitting there 2.5 out. They are in the wild card as the second seed. They are a half a game up on in the second seed. So they're clinging to that spot right now. They're hosting the Cardinals for two games, and then they'll come to Busch Stadium and take on the Cardinals for two more there.
Mm-hmm.
But this is an interesting team because, as we talked about, the who you are thing, and you mentioned that the Royals have figured out who they are. Now they got to see if who they think they are translates into a playoff appearance.
Correct.
Well, they got a crack at that tonight because they're gonna take on the Cardinals. This has been a really interesting series over the last couple of years that the Royals have owned. They've kind of taken the leather to the birds on the bat on the other side of the state and really dominated this series the last couple of years. Now, you're 2.5 out, 57-53, coming off of an iffy series with the Seattle Mariners where you lost your star catcher. 10-day DL. That was it. It ultimately become just a chest contusion. or just upper body injury in hockey parlance.
Right. Yeah, I mean, who knows?
Okay.
It's not quite the Patriots level of obfuscation going on, but it's, you know, if it's bad enough to go to the DL,
10 days.
You can call it what you want.
He's only going for 10 days.
Well, would have been 15 last year, but
right.
Yeah. So Cam Gallagher comes up, actually mm-hmm. scores in that second game of the doubleheader yesterday to back up Drew Butera.
Which the Royals end up winning that one, so they now have they're carrying a win streak of one in a row.
Go on.
I've so missed that look.
Yeah?
It says right here, streak, win one.
Uh-huh.
Got a chance to go for two.
Okay.
Tonight.
To start a streak.
To start a two-game win streak, and then maybe transform that into a three, and then from there it just goes on. But the Royals right now, it hasn't been flashy. It hasn't been spectacular. But one of the one things it has been since June has been consistent. Now, they've had some down patches. The Mariners series, the most recent example of that, but...
Well, they split.
Yeah, but you looked at the Mariners going, all right, because we had talked about it last week, got to mm-hmm. do 3 out of 4 out of that one. You really want to do 3 out of 4 if you want to help your margin in the wild card race.
Sure.
And maybe gain a little bit of ground on the Cleveland Indians, who've lost, you know, they'd lost, they're 5-5 in their last 10. They are coming off of 2-game slides. If you'd have picked up 3 out of 4 in that Mariners series, it's a different talking point today. But
correct.
Right now, you're right where you were last week.
Yep.
I think you've lost a half a game.
And you've lost a little ground to the Yankees in the wild card race. Mm-hmm. But you're still holding on to the second wild card.
You're in.
Yes. You're above the black line.
And that right now is all that matters to Royals fans.
Correct.
Where the Cardinals, and this is where we're just going to be, because these two teams are going to play tonight for game one of two, and then they'll be back at Busch Stadium. Just for comparison's sake, it seems like the Royals fan base is a lot more comfortable with what Dayton Moore and Ned Yost and David Glass have been doing with this team. And I think they understand, correct, that this is probably the last gasp. Next year is going to be check right in time, and there are going to be a lot of checks that aren't going to be able to be written. But do they seem comfortable with, hey, let's give this one more shot and see what we can get.
Yeah, and I mean, you've got how am I trying to put this? You've got the owner, you've given him the methadone, you've given him the good stuff by letting him host the All-Star game.
Just a little bit, and then
the postseason run, the first postseason run in how many years in Kansas City that was awesome. Mm-hmm. Yes, it came to an end 90 feet away from home plate. Gordo and Baumgartner, yes.
Yeah, you're still bitter about that, by the way.
Very much so.
Yeah.
No lies. and then the next year, you get the full bromide. You get to hoist the trophy. You get to win. You bring a million people downtown in Kansas City in blue. Like, you get everything. So the Glass has gotten that, and his respect level for these guys, you're seeing it right now. You saw it at the trade deadline. We need to get better to reward these guys mm-hmm. and give them an honest opportunity. I'll pay Travis Wood's salary for the next 2 years, even though he's going to put on a Padres uniform. Mm-hmm. I'll do what I have to do. We'll take on Melky Cabrera for the last, you know, for as a rental. Like, all of these things you're seeing David Glass do, and Dayton Moore and Ned Yost, because those guys are committed to these guys on the field.
As a player, that gives you a certain amount of not just confidence and comfort, but it gives you a certain amount of trust as well. And going back to our previous segment about where the Cardinals seem to be, and that is a lack of trust in what management is doing, leading to open shots at management. Some of the stuff from Yadier Molina, post-game comments from Lance Lynn, among the notable examples of that one. But what you see in this Royals organization, at least right now, from going from the perennial American League Central whipping boys to a team that is not just regularly in contention, but can be a really fun watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what team you root for. If you're a fan of baseball, and I said this last year, this is a team that goes out there and they just have fun playing the game.
This is a grown-up Little League team.
Yes.
The interviews you see during the Little League World Series,
yeah,
like where they get the kid off to the side and mm-hmm. they're like, what's your favorite movie? And he's like, oh, Transformers. And they're like, cool. And it's like, oh, yeah. Like, that whole level of energy that happens at the little, that's what happens at every Royals broadcast.
Yeah,
like, it's the just goofy little goofy. Things. Yes, completely.
And, you know, we were there a couple of weeks ago for the affiliates appreciation day. And, you know, we had our seats. And we sat there for the first, like, inning and a half or two innings. And we just got up and walked around just to kind of absorb what was going on. And it was a loss.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of home runs ended up turning that thing into a loss. But the general feel, the general vibe was this is a fun place to be. Yeah, they were a little bit aggravated about the home runs and the loss. But the general feel and consensus as you walk around that stadium was the fans are feeding off the fun that the players are having. And you see that when the players make a mistake, they're called out on it by the other guys on the field.
Mm-hmm.
When something happens that doesn't go the right way, whether and not a mistake, they're there to pick the other guy up.
Mm-hmm.
Back him up. Take him off the hook.
Sure.
And it just, I don't know, it as you mentioned, trying to come up with the right word for trying not to call David Glass a baseball heroin act.
I mean, I tried really hard.
I know,
not
but you
do
did
that.
Throw the methadone in there. But yeah, he got his full shot of uncut heroin last with the World Series in 2015. But as 2016 went, and now here in 2017, it's just a fun-loving bunch of guys out there on the baseball field. And listen, April stunk for them, and yep. They knew it.
Yeah.
And they took ownership of it.
Mm-hmm.
And since that point in time, you look at May was a little bit better. June, July were remarkably better.
When they went on their first win streak, it was on a road trip, mm-hmm. and they went on their first little winning streak, and they came home to the K, and I believe it was Gordon said, you know, when he walked in for interviews, and there was about three times as many journalists in the room,
mm-hmm.
before he answered any questions, he was just like, wow, hey guys, nice to see you again.
Yeah.
Guess you decided we're worth your time again. And from a lot of teams, that would be, oh gosh, what a surly guy.
He's tearing up the media again.
But from them, it's that good natured. It's that, yeah, we were bad. So it's really good to see you again, mm-hmm. because that means we're doing good things again. Yeah. I mean, it's really heartfelt in that way. And yeah, it's great to see these guys, you know, out there playing
mm-hmm.
baseball. They're not employees of the Royals going to work to collect a paycheck. All of that is part of it. Don't get me wrong. I mean,
right.
they're obviously
right,
professionals.
Yeah.
They are collecting big paychecks. All of that is true. But these guys make you feel as a fan that they show up to play baseball. Not go to work at the baseball diamond as a baseball player. They show up with the intent to play baseball. From the Salvi splashes, Kane's, you know, Kane's big, huge smile out in center field whenever he makes a great play. You know, Hosmer and all of the backpacks over the last couple years and all of their, you know, even Dyson when he was there and the Zumbaya, the Mr. Zoom thing. Mm-hmm. Everything they do is exuberant. And they know. They know what they came from. 30 years of garbage baseball. And they electrified that city. And just like the owner got it, they got a shot too.
Yeah. And they're
relishing every moment.
They're living off it right now. Kansas City Royals right now, 1.5 million. They're averaging about 28,000 per home game on the road, averaging about 28,000 per road contest overall. What do you know? 28,200. So remarkably consistent for this Royals. And you got to take into account that early stretch in April when there wasn't anybody going to ball games. Not just because the weather wasn't spectacular, but neither was the baseball.
Right.
But they've been coming back, and that attendance has been creeping up, 1.5 million. Now, the Cardinals are on their way to another 3 million seat season, averaging 42,724 at home, which is second only to the L.A. Dodgers. But there are nights when you look at Busch Stadium, and they announce the crowd, and it's much like what you saw with Mizzou basketball.
You think there's how many people here?
I demand a recount.
Where are they hiding?
Yeah. Concessions. Restrooms.
There's people under those tarps?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Lines along. Lines along concessions. That's where most of them ended up. But no, I think, you know, the recovery, the bounce back now that the Royals have been having a good run part of May, most of May, then June, July, and now here into August, and the fact that management has demonstrated that, listen, we understand what's going to happen at the end of 2018 or 17 season into 2018. We understand.
Mm-hmm.
We're rolling the dice one more time. And you're seeing that feedback coming with the fan base. So hopefully it continues for the Kansas City Royals, but they got a couple the next couple of games for the St. Louis Cardinals, who may or may not have found some offense. Who knows if it's going to be anything resembling consistency? We shall see. But baseball tonight from the K, Royals and Cardinals, and you catch the action on Z1041. We're going to stay in Kansas City. The Chiefs have made a couple of roster moves, and preseason camp continues ahead of a preseason game on Friday, and we can get you to said preseason game. So you want to stick and stay? We'll get you those details right after this.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
And welcome back to The Closers here alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young. Hope your Monday is going well. Hope your weekend went well. I was poolside all weekend.
Lounging? Chase Lounge? Mai Tai?
No.
No. Little bamboo umbrella?
I did have little umbrellas. I had one. I've worked with this group for a number of years down there in Lewisville, Texas, and they've said, hey, anything we can get you? Anything we can get you? Like, an umbrella drink? Would be nice.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So they would come out with bottles of water this weekend with little umbrellas taped to them. So by the time my weekend was done, I should have taken a picture of this, but in front of the splash screen in front of me, because, you know, that whole water and electricity thing.
Yep. Heard bad things.
Yeah. It had umbrellas taped to it. All the little paper umbrellas.
Very good.
Yeah. It was good. Anyway. Kansas City Chiefs, we'll get you a chance to get you some preseason tickets here momentarily, but the Kansas City Chiefs, training camp continues. Patrick Mahomes, he's done. Finished. Trade him. 3 interceptions today during practice. I mean, come on. Come on.
He's a gunslinger, man. It's good. It's fine.
Okay. All right. Thank you for talking me back now from there.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, see how good I am at that?
You are.
Yeah.
Alex Smith, trade him. Get rid of him.
Okay. Yes.
Go, whoa.
Okay. I'm down. Let's go.
What are you driving, the moving van?
Yep.
Okay. Of the two, I don't listen, you're going to have practice or camp is going to break, and it's going to be Alex Smith under center.
Yes.
What's the most intriguing part about Patrick Mahomes II? Is it the great unknown, or is it the tutelage that he will get from Andy Reid as the supposed heir apparent to Alex Smith? Ooh.
I think
usually that is followed by, well, that's a good question.
Not from me.
Dang it.
I got one from Bo on Thursday, by the way. I got a good question. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll have to talk to him about that. That's not right. supposed to happen to the co-host.
See, I know, exactly. But I think it's not necessarily the unknown. It's that development factor. Because Andy Reid is kind of known as a QB guy, I feel like that the development factor is really high. That he was Mahomes is a guy with a high ceiling, and you gave him the ceiling higher coach. Like, you gave him a guy who could raise a ceiling. And it you know,
we were hiring ceilings there for
yes,
a second.
We
okay.
are.
Oh, okay, good.
That's what I just talked about. Hiring ceilings.
Ceiling hire. Yeah.
So,
well, he's going to become a much more better quarterback,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay, jeez.
No, so it's, you know, but again, even this first, the first depth chart came out. Mm-hmm. Third string.
Oh,
intrigue. Is that for real? He's really the third string guy? First round draft pick?
Well, he has second string right after his name.
No, he has two vowels.
Oh.
$500 on Wheel of Fortune.
Okay.
But it just, you know, I think everything that Reed angles with and does with Mahomes will be under a microscope.
Yes.
And I think Alex Smith kind of gets left out of it. Like, we talked to Jay Binkley mm-hmm. last week, and Jay even said, you know, listen, this is good. Alex Smith is now playing with house money. He's looking over his shoulder. He's being pushed. He's probably on his way out. He can go out and let it rip.
Alex Smith can?
Yeah.
How could a guy with that kind of arm strength let it rip?
Said in camp, it's been looking good. Been throwing it down the field.
Mm-hmm.
Accurately.
Okay.
Down the field. Actually, now there was no play on words there. It was actually throwing vertically down the field.
Okay, so he was matriculating it vertically
yes.
as opposed to just grounding it.
Right.
Okay.
Not throwing it down on the field.
Okay.
Which, you know, those 15-yard out routes last year were pretty
down
much just
throwing
field. It down
yes.
on the field.
But here's the other part that's going to be a problem for the Kansas City Chiefs right now, and that is going to be where, especially on the defensive side, it's going to be depth and injury situations, plus some of your older guys trying to recover. Eric Berry, heel injury. He missed practice again today. Tight end Travis Kelce, knee issue. Defensive lineman Benny Logan out with a knee. And Cairo Santos, groin injury.
Hate those groin injuries.
Yep. So, yeah. So that's... That's kind of the list. That is right now the list, according to Adam Teacher, for the Kansas City Chiefs on the injury front. So practice is going to be light as this week approaches the final first preseason game for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's going to be this weekend when they will host the San Francisco 49ers at Arrowhead.
Mm-hmm.
A 8 p.m. kick. So if you would like tickets, I have a pair. To the first preseason game, Friday night. You can either go for the half, see the starters, and then go grab something nice to eat for dinner. Maybe barbecue.
Rigers. Go to Rigers.
Go to Rigers.
Go to Rigers okay. in Kansas City.
All right, there you go. That's the recommendation from Jay. I would suggest first half and then Rigers afterward then. Kansas City Chiefs, San Francisco 49ers, Arrowhead Stadium. Friday night, 8 o'clock the kick time. Free tickets, 442-8255. 442-8255. Get you in, get you those tickets, and we'll be right back. Or 1-800-229-5378. I have those tickets available for you. All you got to do is pick up the phone and give me a call at 442-8255.
The Closers. Be part of the show now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
All right, and Duval Howard going to some Kansas City Chiefs football Friday night at Arrowhead Stadium. And maybe he can call us and tell us how Rogers barbecue was afterward.
It's not barbecue. It's fine dining. You're going to want to go there before because the 8 o'clock kick. You're going to want to go to Rogers, downtown Kansas City,
okay.
go to Rogers, enjoy yourself,
and
come
then
back out.
And then allow it to digest
while you're watching the starters. You betcha.
And the good news is, because of the activity of football, you can kind of work off some of that dinner.
Right.
And then stop somewhere on the way back for, like, ice cream or something.
Right.
Okay, we've got your dinner. We got your evening planned out. Duval, have yourself a good time. Hour two, right around the corner.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.